In your book, Out of the Dust, you are quoted as saying, competition, from my point of view, is like exercise for a fat man is good.
I believe that.
Can you embellish a little more on that?
Well, again, Oklahoma banking was a monopoly when I started. Was that good for the customer? No side of it. As we have opened up competition, the customer is much better served. They have access to much more capital, which lets the state grow. Everything about it is positive. But I would even go back to the low-income people who are not aware of the opportunities. If they could compete in that world and see what's really possible, even they would be well served by competition.
Another quote, if I have a trait, sometimes to my detriment, it's been lining up with the underdog.
Oh, I always do that. And David recently told me, Dad, we know you're going to line up the underdog, but you don't have to kill the upper dog.
So you will reach out to the underdog?
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes that hasn't worked for you?
No, a lot of times it does not. An example, a current example, I supported Kendra Horn for Congress.
She's a Democrat who recently won.
Yeah. And Steve Russell was a friend of mine. I told him, I said, Steve, you're my congressman, and you're the only person to whom I can protest what I don't like in Washington, and you don't do anything about it. So all I can do is support who's run against you.
We should point out, because there'll be people looking back on this years from now, she's the only Democrat congressperson who's been elected to Washington from Oklahoma for hundreds of years.
Well, it was probably the most unusual in the country.
But that was amazing. You stood up opponent. So were you a Democrat or Republican?
I'm still a Democrat. David is an independent. I said, David, I don't want any caucus to tell me how to think. I really should be an independent. Oh, Daddy said, everybody else around here is Republican. We got to have a Democrat or two, so you got to stay a Democrat. But that's really how I think.
Have always thought that way.
I always thought that way. Well, go back to my Economics Aid to Dependent Children program.
That's a Democrat thinking.
Oh, absolutely. Because I continue to think that if every child could maximize what they do, think how much more we would have as a society, to say nothing about what that child would have.
Yeah.
It's called lost opportunity.
But now through the years, you have helped individuals become successful.
That would be true.
Wish I had him here to talk to us about
that. Well, one
of
my favorites 50, 60 years ago, a little guy named Lewis Snively in Noble, Oklahoma, had a print shop, or working for a printer. I helped him buy that print shop. 20 years later, I got a note from him and said, Gene, I want you to know how my life is gone. And had you not helped me do that, it could not have gone that way.
Yeah.
So there's really great psychic income sitting across the table from someone you know you're helping educate a family, build a business. It's a great experience.
You should have a lot of satisfaction from what you've built.
What we built, you know, this is fine, but so what?
You make me laugh. Speaking of politics, you recruited David Boren to be president of Oklahoma University.
I did.
It was your insistence that he come back to Oklahoma. Did you go there when he was a senator and talk to him?
Yes, well, I knew him when he was a professor at OBU. So I knew him his entire political career. And yes, I went back and talked to him.
And to Molly. I read where you called on Molly at home, and you talked to David in his office, and then you don't give up on that. So I'm going to talk to Molly.
Yeah.
And you said that she could be more effective in Oklahoma than what she was doing in Washington.
What I told David, I said, David, in Oklahoma you can change lives. In Washington, you can only change policy.
Then he came back, and of course that was a Board of Regents decision and all that.
Oh, yes, very much. And let me say, I think he's done a marvelous job. He was not a good financial manager, and made two or three tough decisions the last two or three years of his. He should have retired a couple of years before he did. The apartment complex, the residential halls, they made no sense. And David was never a financial manager. In Congress, or as president, but he did an incredible increase in the quality of the university and its people. Whatever it plays out to be, I'm appreciative of David Boren.
Oh, yes, absolutely. As you look back on the banking business, some of the big changes over the years, we have internet banking now, we have ATMs, mobile banking.
I'm obsolete.
You are?
No, I am, totally.
Because all this stuff is beyond you.
Beyond me. But we've got people that are at the forefront of the business.
Oh, sure. But they were things that weren't around, of course, when you started. Predictions for the future of banking. You kind of talked about it. Bank buildings, would they go away? I mean, we don't need to visit them as much anymore.
No. Interestingly, the number of branches is shrinking. But there are still new branches being built to take advantage of populations. Because in terms of commercial lending, now, online consumer lending is pretty well all on credit cards and automated. But commercial lending, well done, at least in small and mid-sized business, you've really got to be close to your customer to understand what's happening to them and how to guide them to success. So we probably should build another branch or two way northwest and put a lending officer there. But as far as just on every corner, that's past. What's coming? Who knows? You know, money really is now just an electrical impulse.
Right. Just for fun, I ask when I go into a store or whatever, do you still take cash? I just have fun with them, you know, because someday we may not be using
cash. That's very possible. I'll really be out of style then. If I go to lunch with David, he probably doesn't have $2 in his pocket. Let me tell you his exit strategy, and this is his story, not mine. But I so agree with it, and so identifies who and what we are. Our family owns 35% of Bank First, which is obviously his and his sister's and their children's value, net worth. He could, because he controls it, I don't, this family partnership, he could sell that, and it would increase by 20, 30%. I ask him, what's your exit strategy? He says, I don't want our family ever to sell Oklahoma. My strategy is we'll acquire other banks, we'll issue more stock, and we'll become more of a public company, which will give the family members liquidity, and it will be a company headquartered in Oklahoma, run by the employees who've grown up with it.
That's great, isn't it?
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And that's who he is.
I don't want to ever sell Oklahoma.
Doesn't want to sell Oklahoma.